So as we get started this week, I will hopefully you will notice something on the screen with our scripture verses this week. Maybe a couple last month you noticed too. I've changed it a little. When we get to that point, you will see something. It's when we read scripture, let's just not read through it. Let's just see it, feel it. So, title of the message today is The Beginning. Everything has a beginning. The starting point of life has a beginning. Marathons have a starting point, a beginning. This church had a beginning many years ago. But today I want to start a two-week journey in one of my favorite books of the Bible, and that is the book of Acts. Sometimes it's called the Acts of the Apostles, and maybe better known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So let us begin. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. May we bless his readings today. Luke, if you don't know it, he was a Gentile, the author. We have to understand, too, that he wasn't an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry, but according to his writings, he carefully investigated everything from the beginning, as he states in Luke chapter 1. He knew Paul. He traveled with him. He's mentioned by his names in a couple different writings of Paul. But this Acts is the second writing of Luke to his friend Theophilus, whom he cares about. We don't know totally what this is about or who he is. Some say he was a Roman official. Maybe also it was his purpose of writing to him to help him see the truth of what Jesus did, taught, and how the church spread through the Roman world. The Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts is like volumes 1 and 2. They follow each other. So when one starts, the other is right back up again. So I encourage you to read the last chapter 24 of the book of Luke. It ties you right into a nice flow of the book of Acts. So let us begin. We're going to kind of dissect this verse by verse today. So as verse 1 says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and teach. So one of the words for us to help us in understanding the book of Acts begins with that word, began. Luke says in his first book, which is his gospel, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until his ascension into heaven after his resurrection, as it states in Luke 24. We all like the truth, right? If my mother wrote a book about me, it would have began in 1955. She would have said she gave birth to me. She was witness to some of my growing up, good and bad. my going to school and the things that we like to do together, making fruitcake. She saw in the things that I'd done in my life. She would have asked my wife, my kids, my grandkids of the other things that we had done together. And it's the same for us. What we like to be told is the truth, right? And that's what Luke is telling us in his story, ending with the of Jesus' ascension into heaven. It was real. Now he's going to tell us even more how his church was built. See, everything has a beginning. And this is where it began, in the beginning, the church, what God wanted to do. In the book of Luke, this was the beginning of all of Jesus' ministry, of what he was done, what he did. The book of Acts, now it's the beginning of the deeds of Jesus, what he did. Those deeds is the actions that were done intentionally or concisively. It was all done with being Spirit-filled. What Jesus did on earth in his loving, compassionate, and healing deeds, and what he said on earth in those troubled, truthful, convicting words at times, those comforting, teaching moments, was only the beginning of what Jesus was going to do. Hebrews chapter 10, 12 tells us, when Christ had offered for all of, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Then when Jesus cried, it was finished, the debt was paid, the sins were covered when he died on the cross, that was the ending of what Jesus did on earth. But it was only the beginning of what he was going to do from heaven. This was the starting point of the book of Acts. This is why we exist as a church today. This is where we were told all about those pre-plannings, all the strategies, all that team building, the preparation in the last chapter of Luke was really about what was to come. It is church. Us. See, the book of Acts is just not about the Acts of the Apostles. It is the Acts of the risen, living, enthroned Jesus. And he said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And how many thousands of years ago was that written, what it is today? The church still stands. All that Jesus began to do, now it's just the beginning of something bigger. The building of his church, just like he said he would. Verse 2. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. It is funny, these 11 men that followed him around, or 12 men to a certain point, followed him around for years. They all left him after he died on the cross. Some even went back to fishing or whatever else they did for a living. But here, Jesus comes back. All different ways he appeared to these gentlemen. They all started coming back together. Talking. He began to showing them things. He was giving them more teaching and instructions through his Holy Spirit at that point. This is what's written in the last chapter of Luke. It's Jesus talking. He says, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Can you imagine the conversation up close, personal instructions given by Jesus after he died on the cross? Those deep discussions they had together, Luke tells us this was their response. Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Can you understand that burning sensation sometimes when you get heartburn? But here is these guys, the scripture was opened up to their hearts that it just burned within them, a joyful burn. And a few verses later, Luke tells us he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. I still struggle with that today, understanding it. But Jesus just opened their hearts and their minds up for what he wanted them to do and what was to come. They were all given instructions about what was about to begin. There was nothing hidden. It was all up front. You know, in some Bible translation, it says commands. It was through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke to them, and the apostles received those words of instructions or commands. Here they are having their minds opened up to the scriptures, being commissioned to do what Jesus wanted them to do next. Do we realize, too, for ourselves that we've also been commissioned to go forward? We are an instrument of Jesus. These 11 men all came back, all different comeback, all different types of backgrounds. These disciples of Jesus were to transform the world, the beginning of God's church. Being willing to do and go wherever he wanted and wherever he led. To be an instrument of Jesus as he works and speaks in the world, the apostles needed instructions, a command, a commissioning, an authorization that came from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. You know, there, sadly enough, there are some in our Christian community that have forgotten that we are instruments of Jesus. Those people on the outside only know them for what they are against and not who we love. And that's not an instrument of Jesus. We all have to look at ourselves to see and answer that question every day of our lives. Luke makes it very clear in his letter that Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, that he was alive and well. He wanted to end any rumors of any kind, just as some of the apostles needed verification of his triumphant victory over death. In verse 3, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. See, Luke investigated all this. He found convincing proof of those 40 days, verification that Jesus was alive and had triumphed over death. And there's at least 23 more verses throughout the Gospels that say the same thing, that Jesus is alive and well. And he's still alive and well today. We've all heard and seen different things about the number 40. The 40 holds a significance in the Bible. A 40-something, as it's put, could be a period of time, whether it's days, months, or years. It's a period of testing, trial, probation, chastisement, but it's not judgment. And it ends with a period of restoration, revival, and renewal. This is what these guys have done for 40 days. Been renewed, restored. And there's a revival coming for them, and they don't know it yet. If we look at ourselves or the apostles, we could not have been an authentic instrument in building his church, especially in the hands of a living Christ, if we do not think Christ is alive? And he had to prove it to them. Until they were fully persuaded that Jesus had broken the power of death and that he was alive with an indestructible life, he could never be defeated, and it was his cause, his church was going to be unstoppable. Can we believe that the apostles would have gone right back to fishing for a living? But those 40 days, Jesus appeared to them again and again that he was real and alive. That was the demonstrated evidence, the infallible proof that Jesus was alive and well. And when you know him and you love him, when you know that Jesus is alive and well, it does something to you. Luke goes back into chapter 24, I refer to a lot. He tells about the sort of things they did. Jesus said, "See my hands, my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me. See, does a ghost has not flesh and bones as you see that I have? I'm real." Jesus knew, and Luke wrote it, that Jesus was alive and well. And our faith is based in that fact, and it's not fiction, because Christ is alive and well in all of us. See, the church did not begin with a bunch of people who said, "This is a great theory, this is a great idea." It began because of a compelling facts of history that Jesus was alive and well, and that's what Luke wrote. From beginning to end, it is alive and well. And it always will be. No matter what other people say. Reading on. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for from the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When someone tells you have a gift coming, waiting is a little hard to do, right? Even at Christmas time, we see all the gifts and things that are in front of the tree. It's hard to wait. We want to open it up. We want the gift now. But that was a promised gift from the Father. It's something that was spoken about a number of times throughout the Gospels. There's an excitement. Can you imagine what was going through their mind? And Jesus says, "In a few more days, you'll get the gift." What a momentary letdown, right? But Luke says, this is what these guys did. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy and stayed continually at the temple, praying, praising God. Being obedient is one thing, but being patient is hard. We all have to be patient, because being patient is not easy. The small and the great gifts from God come with being patient. It's not easy being patient. For God is always a patient builder. Keep on praying. Be joyful for these days to come. Be patient, no matter what we're waiting for. You know, Jesus talked about John the Baptist baptizing with water. How many of you remember the day that you were baptized? Okay, I do too. You remember when you went under the water, you came out all excited, and you came out wet. Water running down your face. You were totally wet on the outside. But see, Jesus confirms that this final fulfillment of all that John's baptism was pointed to was that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in terms of rain that was forecast by the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel. These prophets declared in the final days the Spirit would pour out like rain from above. This week we've seen rain. It's come down. It's hard. Can you imagine what that's going to feel like to these guys? But these guys don't really know what's going to happen yet, right? You know, some of us have already read chapter 2, so we know what's going to happen to them. But this steady downpour of rain will become like a cloudburst. It just opens right up. But Jesus declares it would come not many days from now. Be patient. It's coming. The Holy Spirit's been constantly working through these guys, through the ministry with Jesus. Now it's going to come even to a greater measurement to them. Shake and pour it out, it just overflows. This rain, this Holy Spirit rain would penetrate them deeper and fuller than they would ever imagine. The implication from our Lord Jesus Christ referred to that baptism that was He. The Lord Jesus was just going to drench them with the Holy Spirit as John had said. So much rain that they would get wet all the way through inside to their heart. That's wet. Holy Spirit rain upon them. You could probably understand the emotion that they were all going through at the high point of Jesus telling them what was going to happen, the gift and everything else. And they gather around him and somebody says, Jesus, I have a question. In verse 6, they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority. What would this outpouring of the Holy Spirit bring? Perhaps maybe a new governing body they're thinking for Israel, or some may have thought that was what was going to happen. But maybe God was going to establish a new earthly power. Who knows what was going through their minds? But there's always somebody has to ask the questions. And I bet many of us have had the same thing. We've been asked to do something. We have questions too when we're asked. There are times when we are given all types of different instructions to do something. We want to know more. We want to know what's going to happen down the road. We don't want to know exactly. I want to know everything. Don't just tell me a little bit. Tell me it all. I want to know how it's going to turn out. We don't want to wait. Sometimes we don't even want to trust God with it. But just like this question is asked, what is next? But we have to remember Jesus basically reminded them to leave the distant future alone. And the questions of how the Father is going to do things in the future. Because it's not in our hands, it's in His hands. So we don't have to dwell on what is happening now. Because trust me, it will all work out. Just have a little more faith, so to speak, at times. But at this time, the future was all hidden from them. Jesus tells them it has nothing to do with them. God alone will decide in the matters such as this. And it's all out of our own side of our own human speculation, what's going to come. But we have to remember, it's not about the tomorrows. It's not about the yesterdays. It's about today, what we do today. If we follow our instructions, what are we going to do to build the church today? It's a new beginning. Every day brings new opportunities to witness to someone. See, this is not a time for waiting and speculating. It was a time for act in doing. The same command comes to us today. And put it kind of bluntly, let's leave and put our speculating about the future to one side and get out and witness with both lip and life, to put it bluntly. Because I have to remember that myself every day. We need to do that until every person in every land has the opportunity to be presented the gospel and has been given the opportunity to respond to it. Verse 8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Can you imagine what these guys are thinking of? Because they probably, where is the ends of the earth? I don't want to go outside of my own little area. But these are what they've been commissioned to do, to be an instrument to do. This is where they were to go. Jesus said, will you be my errand boy, bench warmer? He makes it perfectly clear we are to be a witness. And I've said it at different times in the past, it's all about us being in a participation with Jesus. It's not about him doing it alone. It's about us doing it with him. If Christ has made us serviceable to do his honor in their day and generation, he can do the same for us. So let us be enough for us to do. Let us not worry about ourselves and about the times and the seasons to come. Let us be honorable and glorious in being kingdom builders. Jesus spoke of a direction for them to go. We can look at our own direction. Kingdom building starts in Linden, or maybe where you live, because that's the Jerusalem, the starting point. Can we ask God to show us how to be vehicles to grow his church? Are we asking to be baptized to a certain point of being drenched with the Holy Spirit rain? Questions we need to ask ourselves. Do we want a spiritual awakening here? We've seen it happen. Asbury, other places. It's happened over time. It could happen here. Jesus' last words on earth were those in verse 8. They were his marching orders, as I put it. The disciples were to wait, and once they had that empowering of the Holy Spirit, they were to witness and go. We are to obey Jesus' call to care enough, and then care enough to share about Jesus. But it's clear here in Acts, it's just not about words, it's our life. We are to live out our life of Jesus in us. There's a little handout that was added to your today, some action steps we need to talk about, think about. And if Pastor and Diana's listening, I added that later, so I'm sorry. But action steps. We've been commissioned by Jesus, right? It's going to take steps to move forward. If we are instruments of Jesus, it's going to take steps. Today is a new day. It will take steps to move forward. Where are you going to start? It takes steps into a direction to go. To be a kingdom builder, it's going to take steps to move forward. And maybe, if we're really not sure what we need to do, maybe we need another 40-something like the apostles had with Jesus. 40 minutes of prayer a day for 40 days and to see what happens. A renewal, a refreshing, a revival. As the praise team comes up to sing our doxology, we have to remember, if we step forward, if we take steps, somebody somewhere will have the opportunity to have a new beginning in Christ. I'm about ready to pray, but I will ask you to come back next week. We will start where we left off with verse 8. We'll talk about our marching orders. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Today is a new beginning with you. And we pray, Lord, that somewhere today, somebody will take a new start, a new beginning in you. May you help us be the instrument of you in the things that we do and say to others. In your precious name we pray. Amen.